I'm Eric Teo. We've got more live music in the studio for you today. My guests are the duo Meisner and Smith. Sam Meisner, Megan Smith. They've got a new album out called 7 Hour Storm. Welcome, you guys. Welcome to Ashland and welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you. It's so great to be here, it's both in Ashland and here in the studio. Yeah.
Tell me how the two of you met.
As actors on stage in theater, we actually met coincidentally at a Shakespeare festival in Berkeley, California.
Really?
Yeah. We were doing Midsummer Night's Dream, of course. And we became friends, and we didn't start playing or really becoming a partnership until we did a show called Woody Guthrie's American Song a couple years after that at a different theater.
And that was a very musically oriented program, a lot of singing in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's all Woody's words spoken, all taken from his letters and autobiography, and then at least 25 songs.
So was your background then both in theater, not music, or a combination of both, or how did that work?
I'd say a combination of both in different ways for both of us. I had been playing guitar since I was a freshman in high school and writing songs and playing, but I was focused on theater for the most part. And when Megan and I got together during the Woody Guthrie show and discovered what a fun time we had playing music and singing together, the next few years, we were suddenly getting more gigs as musicians and thought, well, let's keep going with this.
It just kind of took over. It was very accidental. And I actually went to music school, University of Oregon in Eugene. And so I came a different route. I sort of was in the classical world and I had quit actually doing music and sort of was a full-time actor when I met Sam. And when we did the Woody Guthrie show, they asked me to play a little bass because I was playing stand-up bass in college, and they knew it was on my resume.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
So they're like, why don't you play some bass? And so I got to play some bass in the show and sing in the show, and it just drew me back into the world of music, which was great. It was really a pleasure.
Now, were you guys both in the same company when you auditioned for that Woody Guthrie play, or did you audition for that role and end up at the company then at the same time?
The latter, yeah.
Oh, really?
We were working both separately as freelance actors, as so many of the actors here in town do, and then here in town they get to be here for a significant amount of time. But yeah, we were both doing shows around the country, and this one was particularly close to home. Well, literally closer to home, our home bases, and so we were cast in the show, but otherwise, yeah, it's kind of like seeds in the wind.
And that show must have done pretty well, because I was reading online that you have done that show hundreds of times?
It keeps coming up. It actually, that was one production, and then we did another few productions after that, so I think altogether, collectively, we've done it. I did it in Eugene once, and then the next 5 times I've done it with Sam. So I think we've done the show collectively 6 times. It keeps sort of getting
6 productions.
So does it get billed as Meisner and Smith in Woody Guthrie's American Song?
Well, the cast that we've been working with lately in the last couple versions of this has been stellar. And so I think the creator of the piece, Peter Glaser, has sort of settled on the cast that has been working really well, and we've been really lucky to be a part of it. So,
well, over the last few years, music seems to really be taking off for the two of you. Are you still looking at all for acting gigs ever?
Yeah, in fact, we both were working last winter in different shows. Megan was back at Shakespeare Santa Cruz, and I was at San Jose Rep, and then we've got a couple plays that we'll be in individually in this late winter, early spring into summer of this year. So we're going to do a bunch of touring with the new album, do some theater for a few months, and then get back out on the road and get back to picking and singing.
The new album is called 7 Hour Storm. Meisner and Smith are my guests live in the studio here on Jefferson Public Radio. What do you want to play first today?
Well, we thought we'd be playing some songs off the new album, and here's this one is, I think it's the second track on the album, and it's called Calling.
Calling. is calling. Pleased with your plans, wringing your hands, soon you're crawling. Play safe in a cave, call yourself brave, but you're stalling. Is it all a show?
That is Meisner and Smith live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at www.ijpr.org. The new album is called 7 Hour Storm. So guys, when you started realizing that you had this kindred spirit in music, was there a specific style of music that both of you had in common, or was this the result of the two of you getting to know one another and just playing with one another and figuring it out?
Yeah, I think...
Yes.
Yeah, yes to all of that. I think there was definitely a mutual love of Americana, whatever that's meaning these days, but, you know, but especially focused on vocal harmonies and lyrics that tell some stories, but definitely we bonded over artists like Paul Simon, and the band was a huge thing.
I think we watched The Last Waltz a couple times when we first started playing together,
yeah,
just for some inspiration.
Yeah,
revisited that. It was really fun to share some of those tunes together and
absolutely
play them together.
But also, I think we really bonded over the fact that we both had such a diverse range of artists that inspired us and that we felt influenced by. And you know, where we started with the influences has really developed as the two of us have developed as a duo, and trying to stretch what we can do, the sound that we can produce with two people and two instruments, Megan also plays some mandolin too, but you know, two people, two instruments playing at one time, and how much we can fill out a sound with vocal arrangements. And
when we first started, I remember it was accidental. The whole thing was sort of accidental. We showed up for a radio show to promote Woody Guthrie's American Song, the show, the play that we were doing. And there were supposed to be three of us there, but only Sam and I showed up. So I think we did I'll Fly Away. And then we did Queen Bee by Taj Mahal.
Oh, yeah. Good song.
And then we did Atlanta by
Alison Krauss.
Alison Krauss sings it, but it's a Bad Company song. So it was kind of a fun day. And we walked out of there kind of changed, you know. It was like, wow, that was special. It was fun.
Well, I definitely want to hear more live music. I'm also curious to find out who some of your favorite two-part harmony bands are. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to a live session on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio with Meisner and Smith. More live music next. Sam Meisner and Megan Smith are here in the studio. Before the break, we were talking about two-part harmonies. Mm-hmm. Yours are lovely.
Thank you.
Who are among your favorite two-part harmony bands or performers out there in the world? You referenced Paul Simon, so I'm guessing that means Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah,
or Paul Simon and anybody
and anyone,
Paul Simon sings
right.
with.
Right. Gosh, there's so many, and limiting it to two-part harmony is to...
What about somebody that you might not associate necessarily, like people that you're aware of because of the intricate work they do that aren't really thought of as a two-part harmony band?
Yeah. I think the recent album by Anais Mitchell is a really good...
The one with Jefferson Hamer?
Yeah. And I saw them play live, and it's seamless what they can do. And I think a lot of it had to do with their phrasing together, which is something I think I aspire to with the work that Sam and I do together. So that listening to her stuff is very inspiring. And even when she doesn't have somebody singing with her, she has a lot of insinuated harmonies, which I love.
Yeah, that album, Child Ballads, mm-hmm. it was a mm-hmm. collection of songs from the English catalog, but there are hundreds of them. Right. Have you guys ever done any of those songs?
No, we haven't, but it's definitely an inspiration in finding, the idea of taking songs that are so old and timeless and retaining what they are at their core, and updating isn't the right word, but putting them in a modern context maybe... that is something that's really inspiring about that album, and it really is just seamless. It feels like one voice. That's what the good harmony singing feels like. You know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash did it too. There's one voice. It's harder to figure out which person is singing which part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear another tune. What are you going to play next?
You want to do next time?
Yeah, let's do one. One of the things we really loved doing on this album was that the songs are pretty diverse stylistically, and so we kind of jumped around stylistically in the studio, and this is one that I wrote soon, right before we stepped in and hit record, and this will feature Megan on the lead vocals. This is called Next Time Around.
Don't weep when downstairs, clear the chairs, and sing all my favorite songs. The love I have known is twice what I have shown, but I'll pay it back in kind next time around. Well, they tell you you won't make it, and your crops are bound to fail. Maybe you don't disagree at all. The odds will rub you wrong. Win, lose, or draw. Anyway, the trick is staying until you call. Yeah. Songs rang out as I came in. Music filled my ears. When I go, propose singing through our tears. You get what you give. You learn as you live and leave nothing but love behind. So please don't weep when I've gone. When I've gone, come downstairs, clear the chair. All my favorite songs. The love I have known is twice what I have shown, but I'll pay it back in kind next time around. Oh, I'll pay it back in kind next time.
It's Meisner and Smith live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. Let's talk about this webcast thing that you do. You've done this before. You did it just, what, a couple of days ago or yesterday?
Well, we did one from our living room, which was our first time trying it. This one that we're going to be doing up from Seattle, it will be a little different. It's actually through a venue called MTC Studios, and they video it live in HD and then broadcast it
with a couple different cameras. Yeah. So much more, ours earlier, we mentioned.
We were a little lo-fi when we did ours.
We were playing to our Mac.
Which is also charming, but.
Yep. Now, how do you offset the cost of the bandwidth? I mean, with online stuff, sometimes the more people show up, the more you pay. So do you have a subscription service for these kinds of things, or how does that work?
No. What you can do is actually, if you're a member of Google Plus, you can broadcast something called, it's called Hangout on Air, and you just can make it public, and it's free as long as you have a Gmail account and you're on Google Plus. And so we did that, and then we routed it through our Facebook page with one of those fancy little free apps that you can get and figure out which took me a little while to figure out, but it's pretty great to be able to have things like that at your fingertips as an independent musician. Mm. So
it was a way for us to kind of celebrate the somewhat arbitrary day that is chosen to release an album, you know, on a Tuesday, which is what it is in the industry,
right,
for whatever reason that is. And and we wanted to do something on the day, so we did something live from our living room and then played in the local record store in Davis, California as well. And it was fun. We didn't know how many people would, quote-unquote, show up, and a lot of people did. People in England, people kind of all over the place were joining us and commenting, and it was really fun. It was a great way to celebrate the day.
And on those webcasts, is it usually or always just the two of you?
Well, that's so far that's been the case, yes.
on the album, it's not always just the two of you.
Right.
No.
So the album features a full band. Now, how did you get to meet the other folks that are playing with you on some of the songs on the album? And how do you juggle the full band versus just the two of you? Obviously, it's a lot easier to drive the country
if
it's just the two of you, right?
Yeah. Well, for the album, it was always our idea from the beginning that we wanted to flesh a lot of the songs out in our previous three albums, one of which was a live show.
Freight and Salvage, right?
Were all duo recordings. And for the most part, we recorded live in the studio for those too. So there wasn't a bunch of multi-tracking and all of that and other instruments. But this one, we really wanted to flesh the songs out and kind of highlight the diversity of stuff that we do. And it was always meant to be a studio album. And while always retaining who we are at the core of the duo,
I think it helped that we had a really great producer and team. We had a guy by the name of Jeff Kaiser producing it, who's a founding member of a San Francisco roots band called the Crooked Jades. And Bruce Kappen was our engineer, and he, he's a pedal steel player and
wizard, really.
Really wonderful musician who's toured with David Byrne, and, you know, he has all these... You'd never know it because he's so down to earth, but he's all these crazy stories of working in LA for many years. So he really knows his stuff. But they also came to the table with this idea of what Sam said about retaining the core of what the duo can do on stage, so that this album represents a little bit more of what is in our minds when we're playing, but it also is totally what we do on stage, just the two of us.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because in a duo setting, obviously you're crafting these songs and you understand the limitations of two voices, two instruments. How do you juggle that idea where sometimes you hear additional things that you want to be part of the songs versus when you add additional singers or additional instruments, it starts to clutter up the purity of what the two of you have created?
That's such a great question, and it's something that we were fortunate enough to have that idea always present with Bruce and Jeff, and the two of us were always mindful to keep an eye on it too, of what feel... I think really what got us to the place where the album is now is by through both our ears, but also Jeff, the producer's ears, trying to draw out what we were already doing as a duo, whether it was what Megan's doing on the bass or what I'm doing on guitar, and finding they were able to kind of go, oh, listen to what Sam's doing here on this guitar. What if we had a keyboard doing, just hinting at that? And it was always... The idea was always how can we serve the song? What does the song need right now without stepping on the vocals, the lyrics, the harmonies?
But also not being precious with it.
Right.
So trying the songs over and over again, you know, sort of putting them to the test so that we had a nice balance of pushing it ourselves as far as we could go, but also paying a good amount of respect to what was already there.
Yeah. You know? And a lot of the time it was... it wasn't about adding. It was, you know, a keyboard part that we had recorded all the way through one song. At one moment, we take things away, you know, so that editing part of it was actually really eye-opening to discover how effective it can be to take something out of a mix for a certain moment and highlight certain things.
Yeah. So there's the old adage that the best musicians are the ones that you don't hear on a song unless you're listening for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just simply present to make it full. You guys picked up an award at the West Coast Songwriter Awards. Is that what you call the thing? How did that work? What was the song that you won for?
Yeah. It was in 2007. It was a song off of our first album called Madeline. And it's the West Coast Songwriters is a group that I think it's all the way, it's definitely in Oregon and also all the way through California. And it's groups that put on sort of in-house open mics, so to speak, for members at different venues all over the state. And it's kind of like there are playoffs the year, you know, it kind of gets whittled down at the end of the year.
Judges that come in from the industry and sort of give you a sort of constructive criticism on the songwriting. Yeah. And
so it's not just an award, there's something useful that comes out of it for you as well as the performance.
Absolutely,
it's a process you go through. You go through several nights of this adjudication process. People can come watch too, it's, you know, in front of a live audience, and then at the end they announce who's the winner, I guess. So
yeah.
That was really a great surprise.
Yeah.
And do you get more than just a line on your website that said, hey, we won this award? Is there something that you get out of it?
Get free recording time in
the studio. Yeah, we did get some free recording time. Yeah, and we were able, actually, with that recording time that we won for that song, we were able to record our second album.
Oh, so, fantastic.
I guess, yeah, well, the memory
starts
to fade.
It did us a lot of
fade,
good,
yeah. Yes, that's exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Meisner and Smith are my guests live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're online at ijpr.org. Let's hear one more tune. What do you want to do to wrap up?
Another one off the new album, and the title is Tamil Pious, which is the name of a
Mount Tam.
Yeah, right down overlooking the Bay Area, and just a gorgeous sight from just about every angle you could approach it in the Bay Area. So this is Tamil Pious. Climbing from the ocean, she rises from the tide, beckons to the sailors looking for a guide. Her eyes shine like a lighthouse, her hair is like the wind that sends all of our ships away and pulls them back again. From the seaports of Alaska, the damp of Puget Sound, down the coast to California, San Francisco bound. 7 years hiding, a dozen on the run. Tell the truth, it breaks my heart to see what I've become. Tamil Pious, crouched among the clouds. Waves break on our backs, I call her name out loud. The mountain she's sitting, listening to the sea. Patient as my lover's eyes, waiting there for me. Opens wide, Golden Gate down below, arching across the tide. There's no time like sunrise to make me long for home. Skimming across that lonesome ocean, wondering why I roam. Boots touch land. Oh, 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 oh. Climbing from the ocean, she rises from the tide, beckons to the sailors looking for a guide. Her eyes shine like a lighthouse, her hair is like the wind that sends all of our ships away and pulls them back again.
That is Meisner and Smith live in the JPR studios. Music from their new album called 7 Hour Storm, just out this week. Sam Meisner, Megan Smith live in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure to meet you and
Thank
listen
you.
To you play live.
Oh, great.
We had a lot of fun. Thanks.